Hello everyone, welcome to the 7th episode of the Asia VC Cast, hosted by yours truly, Daniel Song at DSongVC on Twitter. This week's special guest is Andy Choi from Kakao Ventures. Before coming to Kakao, Andy was a software engineer across various industries, including high-frequency trading, mobile payments, digital media, and e-commerce. He was also a researcher in human-computer interaction with awards for high academic achievements, and his areas of focus include computer systems, consumer internet services, and machine learning. So join me in welcoming Andy from Kakao Ventures. Hey, Andy, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. Really great to have you here. So why don't we start by telling our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to join Kakao Ventures.
All right, cool. I used to be a developer till last April. So it's only been about a year since I became a venture capitalist. And when I was a developer, I worked across various industries. Like, for example, my first like real life experience working as an intern at a company was at a high frequency trading company. And then after that, I moved over to a mobile payment company. And then after that, I went to another like design agency where I got to join in like projects related to like new media. And gotcha. Then after that, I had a short period where I kind of stayed in the academia world, where I did my master's, which was also related to some computer engineering projects. Mm-hmm. And the last one, right before becoming a venture capitalist, I was working at an e-commerce company. And so... as you can see, it's been a long journey of like lots right. and lots of different industries, and it's been quite fun. Like, I would say, I didn't have the opportunity to like go in depth into one particular industry, but I did mm-hmm. have the opportunity to learn about bunch of other stuff in the world. So in that sense, I think I had a very good time before becoming a VC.
Right. And how did this opportunity come about to join Kakao Ventures from your previous gig?
I first became a... So I actually interned at this company in 2014. And mm-hmm. that was like between my career as working at a digital design agency and also right before going back to school. So that was about like 2 months and a half. At that time, our company was called KCube Ventures, and mm-hmm. we recently changed our name to Kakao Ventures about like a week ago. So it hasn't been long, and right. I'm still getting used to the new name. But at that time in 2014, KCube Ventures was still relatively new. So the company started in 2012. So that's why the company was kind of like the cool kid on the block. And it was founded by Jimmy Rim, who used to be the CEO of Kakao till about like a week ago also. And then, and Brian, who's like the founder of Kakao also. Right. So, like KCube was hot. Like Jimmy was also a very, famous. And so I also naturally, got interested into right. KCube Ventures and the VC world. And that's, it was kind of based on my, interest. In general, towards the startup world, like I could either create a startup, join a startup, or either like a help out a startup. And the third option at that time seemed more interesting. So that's how I like followed around like famous VCs, like try to ask questions, like try to network. And then that's how I got this opportunity to work as an intern. And that kind of like led through this like full-time offer also that happened in 2017. So right. that's kind of like the very high level overview of how I joined this company.
That's great. And like you mentioned, you guys recently switched names from KQ Ventures to Kakao and Kakao Ventures. And, you know, I've been following closely on your portfolio investments as well, but I wouldn't say it's a corporate VC, but rather you guys are working more as is it better to say subsidiary of Kakao Ventures? What's your relationship like with Kakao?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I've been getting that question ever since we changed our name, which hasn't been long again. So KQ Ventures was actually already a subsidiary of Kakao since around like 2015. And so changing our name doesn't mean that Kakao bought us. Like, we were already the Kakao subsidiary. The name change was just kind of like the a whole brand changing plan of Kakao. And so technically there hasn't been much that changed, except for our name and except that one of our partners moved over to Kakao itself to help out some operations over there. So except for those, like, same team, like, same investment themes, like, same investment industries and same process whatsoever, like, almost no change at all.
Right. But then there's definitely benefits of working closer with Kakao, in the sense that you have this constant direct communication line as one of the biggest IT companies in Korea, right?
Yes, that is true. So I would say it's kind of like having the best of the both worlds. For example, as we operate independently, like, we have our own funds and we have our own, like, bonus structures. So in that sense, we're not a CVC. We're more like an FI, like a financial investor. But right, since we have Kakao on our back, we do get the benefits of the CVC, which is like helping out companies get like some like advice or resource that only people who are aligned with Kakao can give. And right, also, like, for example, we had a portfolio company called KidsNote, which was acquired by Kakao. And I think our, like, very special relations kind of helped that happen. And also, since Kakao is also very well known, it's like one of the biggest, like, mobile platforms in Korea. Like, having that reference also helped us a lot when doing all sorts of deal sourcing. So, right, we get like both benefits. And so I think that's it's quite rare. I don't see these types of VCs much around the world. So it's quite right, unique and like interesting at the same time.
Gotcha. So let's dig deeper into your approach on how you're identifying and evaluating an early stage startup, which that's your sweet spot for Kakao Ventures. And how does that differ compared to, you know, when looking at later stage deals?
Yeah. Since we look at super, super early stage companies, we usually define ourselves as seed or like Series A investors. And there are lots of times when we help the founders incorporate their company while we do our investment. So like, that means we're like super, super early. Like, we sometimes even overlap with like accelerators maybe, or even like, or we even meet companies before they even like meet accelerators. So that, and because of that, I think, we have a more magical criteria than later stage companies. And what I mean by that is like, there's no like fixed formula. Like, if the company was already mature, then there could be numbers that you could look into, more like objective criterias. But since all these companies have only been around for like at most like maybe like 1 or 2 years when we invest, it's more about like the criterias are more based on our experience. And from what we've seen, we think the single most biggest factor for a company to be successful is the founders themselves. And that the reason for that is companies can always evolve and like change ideas, because whatever that they're doing, it all kind of depends on the outside world. Like laws can change, like regulations could be helpful or be bad. Also, like tech trends can also change. But whenever those changes are happening, it's always the people that are still there. So that's one of the reasons why we think we should be looking at the founders very carefully. And we like founders who are very passionate about their opinion, but are also flexible. So those might be a little bit contradicting. But mm-hmm. what that means is we like founders who have really strong hypotheses, like people who are really into their mission about what they're trying to build and what changes that they're trying to bring to the world. But also, they're quite flexible to their own ideas. And that should help be more like flexible to all these like changes of the outside world. And so that's like, those are some main like stuff that we look into.
Right. And it seems like you guys are putting high emphasis on the founder and the team. Are there any other factors, important factors that you look out for when making an investment decision?
Yeah. We look at tons of stuff. So the first one that I just talked about was, I kind of like put emphasis on it because that's like super important, but we obviously do not miss like business models or like, whether the problem that they're trying to solve is well aligned with their own background. We also look at the experiences of the founders. We also look at the market. Like we don't want markets that don't have any chances to scale out. Like, of course, like companies that are focusing on very niche markets, those could also be very good companies. But we want companies that work on a very that could potentially be a very big market. And also we look into how the integrity and the chemistry of the team, like how well they go along, like how well they can like solve internal problems, and how well they can become magnets of like future talent. So those are other stuff that we consider very important.
Right. And talking about markets, recently, you know, which sectors have you taken the most interest in, and why you have taken a closer look at those?
Yeah. So as for our company in general, we like 99% of our investment is toward software and ICT companies. And within that, we have three main pillars, which is the IT service parts, the game companies, and also the more like hardcore technology parts. And I'm kind of like more focused on that third one, the more hardcore technology, like high tech part. Mm-hmm. And among that, recently we've been focusing on AI technology, like deep learning, machine learning, also some drone companies, blockchain companies, IoT companies, and other like any like technology that could become a foundation of the future.
Right. And I want to go deeper into, you know, one of your sector that you're interested in, which is AI and machine learning. Right now, there are so many terms thrown around these days related to AI. You know, what do all these definitions within AI mean? Like, what does AI stand for? What is, you know, machine learning? What is deep learning? So how do you differentiate all these different terms?
Yeah, that's an easy and hard question at the same time. So AI is kind of like the most like biggest term among all. Like within AI, you have machine learning, and within machine learning, you have deep learning. So it's kind of like all of these actually, like people like mix them around, but they actually, the scope of each term is actually quite different. And, but I don't think like, many people care about it, cause like people like who want to like scope things around for like each and every term, they're mostly like engineers. And I don't think like, it matters much to like people in general. But these, like AI, it's been becoming big, even though the concept of it hasn't been new. Like, for example, from what I know, the concept of AI, it was already in like the 1950s. And the only reason why it became so big now is because now the hardware and the software and the data is available to actually make some kind of intelligent system now. So without those ingredients, like you could never have all these big AI systems that we're talking about. But now we somehow have some of those ingredients. So that's why I think people are talking about AI a lot these days.
Right. And I think you briefly touched on this as well, but what technological advances have happened recently, you know, that allowed AI to turn into one of the most exciting technologies right now?
Yeah. So at a very high level, you need, it's kind of like how humans think. Like humans, you need your own physical body and you need your own experience to make future decisions. And that's kind of like the same thing in the machine world. You need hardware and you need data. So hardware is kind of like your own like human body and brain. Like you need to be able to crunch all these like data that you have and also be able to learn from it. You should be able to like store your own like lessons that you've learned from your data, and you should also be able to process new data really quickly so that you can make decisions right on time. So in the machine world, like the way that computers have evolved, the hardware side, it's been going quite well. Like after all these like processors and evolutions in like processors and memories, that's all been going well, especially with like GPUs. But now, the data part that wasn't there for a while, but after like all these like huge platforms like Google and Facebook, now we're starting to getting our hands on enough data that could allow us to at least mimic very, very small parts of whatever like human intelligence that we have. For example, like now, like it was like last year, like I think I read that Google, like they get like 1.7 billion photos being uploaded every day.
It's a lot.
So that is like huge. And that's the amount of data that we need to now at least like make machines understand how a cat looks like. And that's like, that's like one of the only like really, really, really small applications that you can think of. So we have a long, long way to go.
Right. And with this rise of, you know, machine AI intelligence, there are people saying that eventually, you know, we're going to live in the world where white collar jobs will be replaced by machines and AI. What are your thoughts on this? Is this really going to happen? If it does, when?
It's a sensitive question. Let me put it this way. So whenever there was a technological leap forward, there has always been these types of questions. For example, when the assembly line came in, like people were worrying, oh, will this like remove tons of human jobs? But if you think about it, it did remove some jobs, some like repetitive jobs, but it also created new jobs. Also, like robots and factories, it's been there for a while, but I don't think like right now at this point, I don't think people have been saying robots have destroyed so many jobs that we're out of jobs right now. I don't think there's many people that are talking like that. Also, computers have been doing so many work that, already have replaced some human jobs, but people aren't really complaining about that. But I do see the points and the worries that people have. Like, of course, AI could reduce some jobs. But on the other hand, there are always going to be new jobs that can pop up because of these other new opportunities coming over. Like, I could go on a really like a radical opinion saying, like, thanks to AI, now we can live in like different planets. And now, like, setting up whole new cities and like nations on planets, like, that's going to create like tons and tons of new jobs. I mean, like, it could go on a really radical scale, but what I'm trying to say is every new technology, it definitely removes some jobs, but it also creates new jobs also. But the, right. like the net worth of it, like the minus and the plus, I don't know which one is going to be bigger, but hopefully the minus side isn't like too huge.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm trying to pick up different skill sets every weekend to make sure that, I'm not replaced by these machines. Make sure I have enough different talents in my hand in case there's a AI robot who can do better things than I do. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it doesn't get stuck.
Yeah. Oh, I also wanted to add a point to that. AI, it's if you look at the fundamentals of every invention, big technological advances. If you look at the fundamentals, you can kind of like understand, what changes will happen. Like, for example, my internet, it's the main like fundamental problem that it was trying to issue was trying to solve the cost of information. Like mobile, like the main problem that I was trying to tackle was the cost of accessibility of those already existing information. AI, for what I believe, is trying to tackle on the problem of the cost of decision. So I don't think people will be leaving machines to make the final decision, at least, for some time. Like, I don't think, like, having machines all around me, like making the final decisions for like ordinary life, I don't think that will happen, at least like within my generation, probably. So if you think about it, if you think of it that way, then as long as humans are still trusted as the final decision maker, then AI won't be more like a device that replaces human. It could be more like a device that helps make decisions.
Perfect. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us. So that leads me to my last question for today. What to expect from you and Kakao Ventures this year?
I'm usually not a fan of setting up like long-term plans because I think life is always so random, but at least for this year, I would say maybe it's a very important time for us to, go abroad more aggressively. Like, even though about 10% of our portfolio companies, they're all based outside of Korea, maybe, it could be a good, time or maybe a good opportunity to become more aggressive, become a VC that's even more better known, become like better known worldwide. Even though there was a recent like ranking from CB Insights where they put KQ Ventures as the 7th most active CVC in the world, technically we're not a CVC, but it was very exciting to see that a very well-known data source like CB Insights could recognize us. And so I hope that we could continue on these efforts. And another one is that all these like blockchains and ICOs, like it's a very interesting industry in which it could have major impacts into even like more traditional industries like venture capital. And so we're trying to see like what type of opportunities that we can find from those changes also. So I think it's a very interesting time right now.
Interesting time indeed. And I'm super excited to see what's coming ahead for you this year and also for Kakao Ventures. Thank you so much, Andy, for taking your time. I think our listeners got to really learn more about the new changes that's happening in AI, but also what kind of different things you look for when evaluating early stage startup. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I had a really fun time, and I hope this podcast becomes way more popular so that people can know like how much effort that you're putting into this.
Thanks,
Thank
Andy.
You so much.
Thank you.